time I got up here. Oh, I am so excited. I've been just like jumping out of my skin, and I'm like, oh, I can't wait to go up. I can't wait to go up. Because this is a word that has been, that God's been working on me for a long time with, for sure. But a couple months ago when we were praying about the fast, the staff and the elders got together, and we prayed about what we wanted to pray about, honestly, for this season, which is what you'll find on the app. If you go to the app and you open the front page, there's a part on there that will say fasting devotionals. And what we've done is we've had all of the staff and elders and some of our leadership training school students write devotions for you based on some stuff that we felt like the Lord wanted us as a corporate body to pray for together throughout this fast. So every day you will get you can get a notification. It should come out at like noon. I promise I didn't set it for 5 a.m., although it will post at 5 a.m. for those of you who want to do it first thing in the morning when you get up. But follow along with us throughout the fast, because we have some great stuff that we want to pray for together as a family. And if you did not hear last week's message, we had trouble with our internet, of course we did, on Sunday when we replayed a message about fasting. But if you are curious about the fast, curious about why we fast, curious about what what God has called us to, then I challenge you, encourage you to go listen to it. It's online. It's also on our Facebook page. But it will kind of catch you up, get you on the same page that we are. But we are wanting to be very intentional this year with our fast. And today is the first day of our fast. So I want to have some understanding that you can fast however God calls you to fast. If it's one day a week, if it's one meal a day, if it is the entire time, if it's a Daniel fast, if it's a juice fast, if it's a fast from sugar or coffee, I don't know. I don't know what God wants you to do, but I want you to know that you have the freedom to ask Him and then the freedom to obey Him and participate with us in this fast, and it's going to be awesome. And we are so excited about it because we believe God's going to do something and that He's laying a foundation today, a very awesome foundation today, that so that we can go into this year totally different. Is anybody ready to go into this year different than you were last year? Okay. We limped through the end of the last year. My family all got sick while we were on vacation. It was really great. We see our families like once a year, and we like spread love while we were there. It was fantastic. And so we are kind of recovering from that. Mark was recovering from a sinus infection. I've been recovering a little bit longer. So hopefully my voice doesn't bug you. But anyway, that's what we've been doing. And I am ready to start something new this year. Well, then about a month ago, the staff and elders got together again, and we felt like the Lord said to us, you must return to your first love. You must return to the basics. You have to go back to the very foundation of what you believe, because truly, without these basic things that we're going to talk about over the next 3 weeks, everything comes from these three things. These three things that God has said, I want you to return to me, return to your first love. And I was thinking about this morning, and I was like, you know, it's kind of like going back to kindergarten. You know, everything I needed to know, I learned in kindergarten. Well, you might feel like, oh, great, we're talking about basic stuff. Let me tell you, if we actually got this basic stuff, we would be different. So I want to encourage you to listen to this basic stuff with new ears, with fresh ears, with fresh understanding. And I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit, before I get started, to reveal some stuff to us, to speak to us very specifically and directly, because I believe He has something very new and very specific that He wants to share with us, and very foundational, and yes, very basic, but oh my gosh, you guys, if we could get some of these basics, everything would change. Because out of these three things that we're going to talk about, all of life with Jesus comes from it. Are you ready? Because I am so ready. I am so excited. Okay, so Lord, Holy Spirit, I want to pray, first of all, before we even get into this, that you would speak through me. That Lord, you have just ignited in such a passion in my heart for this, and I pray that it translates to this church. Pray that it translates to this family, that God, you would prepare their hearts, their minds, their ears for what you have to speak to them today. Lord, you are doing something, and we want to partner with you. And we want to present ourselves to you and ask you to work in us. May we be transformed by the renewing of our mind, and may your word spoken today renew our mind. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so the first thing that we get to talk about is my favorite book, and this is why I'm so excited. If you don't know what my favorite book is, I don't even know what to say. But my favorite book is the Bible. My favorite book is the Bible. And this is the first basic that we're going to talk to you about, is this book. This book that has changed my life. About 24 years ago, I was on a quest for truth. All I wanted to know was the truth. I thought it was stupid to believe in something that wasn't true. What a waste of time. What a waste of energy. And I had grown up in the church. I've grown up in the church, and I've had lots of Bibles, honestly. And I thought about bringing all of my Bibles here to show them to you, and then I was like, nah, it's kind of nerdy, and it's letting us not do that. So I'll just tell you, I have an old King James Bible that has all the little tabs in it, you know, that tells you exactly where to go. And I used to take that to like Pioneer Girls with me, and I kind of read the Bible then. But then when I got to college, I kind of just was doing my own thing, not really sure what I thought, what I believed. And I played college softball, and one of the girls on the team was a Christian. So was I, but she was a Christian that brought her Bible with her on road trips. And she was a Christian that actually opened it and read it and lived it. And I remember thinking, well, that's a different kind of Christian than me. You bring your Bible. You read your Bible. I didn't do that. I had lots of Bibles, but I didn't actually read it. Or I mean, I would on Sundays when the pastor would preach, but like even then I kind of read it. But I didn't get it. But just watching somebody bring a Bible to a road trip for a college sport changed my life. Because I knew that she had something different than me. And so that started a conversation with her. That led me to the Lord. That led me to open the Bible for myself. That led me to read it for myself. That led me to have a completely transformed life because of a Bible. And so I have one that I almost brought again with me, which is covered in duct tape. It's covered in chrome duct tape because it was the very first Bible that I got after I became a Christian. And it's an NIV study Bible. And it has like, you know, when you've memorized scripture and you can kind of see it in your Bible, you don't really know where it is, but you know it's in blue and it's on the right side of the word. And you're like, it's about 3/4 of the way back. That's the Bible that I remember things from. That I'm like, oh, that's in pink somewhere. I can't remember where, but it's in there somewhere. In this chrome duct tape Bible that I have. This is my preaching Bible because it's smaller. The problem is that it's in the English Standard Version, which is a great version, but I always preach with the Passion Translation, which I do have one of those as well, but it's really hard for me to read in front of a lot of people because the pages are so thin, and so then I just write it all up, and then, yeah. And then I also have a Nerd Bible, which is like an inductive study Bible where you can color all over it. And then I have another Bible that is a Greek and Hebrew keyword study Bible. Seriously, my book of Bible, a stack of Bibles would be like this. I have a Message Bible. I have a New Living Translation Bible. I have like a whole bunch of Bibles because I love them. I love them. And at the end of today, I want you to love them. I want you to love it. And on the first day of our fast, I so desperately want to make you hungry. I want to make you so hungry for the Word of God. And when Jesus was tempted after 40 days of fasting, the enemy, Satan, came to him and said, hey, why don't you just turn the stone into bread? You can eat it. And he says, man does not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from God. That is what I want to feed you today, and that is what I want you to be hungry for, and that is what I want you to go home and read when we're done. That's my goal. Are you ready? Yeah. Okay. So, first of all, I want to tell you some facts about the Bible. This really cool book, this amazed me. There are 100 million copies of the Bible sold every year. 100 million Bibles sold every year. There have been 5 billion Bibles sold in total. It is the best-selling book of all time. No other book has come close to this word, to this book. It's been translated into 698 languages. That's a statistic I got from like October. I don't know if it's changed since then, but that was the newest one I could find. 698 languages this has been translated into. No other book has been translated that many times. The New Testament alone, you know, the little New Testaments, those have been translated into an additional 1,548 languages. It was originally written in three languages, Hebrew, Greek, and Aramaic. So if you want to study it, you study those, you study that. My Hebrew Greek study Bible does that. It's the Word of God, but then it has underlines and it tells you what the original Greek and the Hebrew are. That's the best way to study the Bible. This is a collection of work. One person didn't write this. Over 40 authors wrote this. Okay? They were shepherds, kings, farmers, priests, poets, scribes, fishermen. They were also traitors, embezzlers, adulterers, and murderers. That's who wrote this, my favorite book. There are more than 3,200 verses with fulfilled prophecy, either within the Bible itself or since the Bible was written. But you know that there are still more than 3,100 verses that are unfulfilled. There's a lot happening in this book. A lot. It doesn't contradict itself. The world would like to tell you that it contradicts itself. But I promise you that if Scripture is not taken out of context and the whole Bible is read, it does not contradict itself. In fact, I kind of look at it like, how have I described it? It's like when you're bowling and you have the bumpers that come up on the side. Maybe you don't do that, but we have bumpers. Because the Word is talking about truth and love and justice and mercy and all these things that seem so contradictory to itself. And so we'll find one Scripture and it'll be all about love, and then we'll find another Scripture that's all about truth. And I kind of picture it like the little lanes on the bumper, or the bumper lanes, and they kind of just keep moving us back and forth directly down to the goal. But sometimes we're a little bit too far on the grace side, and we kind of need to be moved back a little bit towards middle. And then sometimes we're a little bit way too truth. That's what I usually have problems with, a little bit too much truth. And so God is pushing me back to the middle a little bit. And that's why I look at the Word of God, is that it's this thing that's constantly moving us back towards center, back towards wholeness, back towards who Jesus is. Kind of like the bumpers on a bowling lane. But it doesn't contradict itself. It's historically accurate. There's archaeological evidence for this. And I don't know if you've read The Case for Christ or you've watched the movie, but that's a really great one to get some evidence for it. There's lots of books written about the realness, the historical accuracy of this, that it talks about real life events, real life people, real life things. It's all in this book. And it was written by the Spirit of God. It was written by the Spirit of God, and it is best read with the Spirit of God. There's a lot of people who have read this book without the Spirit of God, and it didn't change them. But there are those of us who have read this book with the Spirit of God, and it changed everything. Everything is different because of what you could read in this book. This is my favorite book, and I want you to love it like I love it. So I'm going to tell you, this is my book report. This is my book review. I'm going to tell you three reasons why it is worth reading this book, why it is worth owning one, why you can have 10 copies of it if you want. I don't know. But the first thing and the biggest thing is that this book is the Word of God. And you guys, really, can you just think for a second what it means that we get to hold and read the Word of God? I knew I was going to be emotional about this because this is so powerful to me. We get to hear from God in His Word. This is the language of God. You know, I have people say to me, I don't hear from God. I'm like, do you know his language? Do you know what he speaks? Do you know what he would say? It's like we really want to know what he says, and we really want to hear what he has to say, but we won't actually read his word. We don't open it, and so because we don't open it, we don't know his language. This is his language. It's kind of like learn. If you really love someone and they speak a different language than you, then you would do everything you could to learn that language so that you could communicate with them. That's what this is. This is his language of God. And I want to be so familiar with the word he speaks, because everything he speaks comes from here. And I'm going to explain that. It's two types of words. There's the logos word, and then there's the rhema word. And the logos word is the general word of God that communicates his ability to do something or his general will on a matter. This is his general word on a matter. It says everything. But a rhema word is the word the Holy Spirit quickens to a specific person for a specific situation. All right? It's like the logos word is a well, and a rhema word is like a cup from it for you. You don't get a rhema word if you don't have the well. You don't get a little bit of God if you don't have the big bit of God. It's hard to get a little word of God, a very specific word of God for you till you know his well. It's like the piano keys. The logos is the piano keys, while the rhema is a single key that plays. The logos is the entire body, when the rhema is the one part of the operation. He speaks to us very specifically, even now, today. He does. But it always lines up with his word. If we don't know his word, we're not going to hear his rhema word for me. And I want to hear what he wants to say to me very specifically. And so I desperately want to know the language of God, the word of God, because it's his thoughts towards us. It's his plans for us. It's his purpose for us. It's who he is. It's what he can do. It's what he will do. All of that is in here. And we have the freedom to read it. We have the freedom to buy it. We have the freedom to sell it. We have the freedom to give it away. And we have so many we don't even know what to do with. But we don't open it. We don't open it like it's the word of God. We don't open it like, God, I am desperate to hear your voice today. I am desperate to hear what you have to say. I want to know your plans. I want to know your love for me. I want to know what's coming. I want to know how to change. I want to know how to overcome this broken relationship. It's all right here. It is all right here. Because this is the word of God. So why are we devouring it like daily bread that it is for us every day? We can have this for free every day. And I want us to be so excited to wake up in the morning, or if you want to do it the last thing before you go to bed, I can't do that because I'll fall asleep, but and go in there and say, what do you have for me today, God? I want a cup. I want a cup. I want a rhema word for me. How do I do this? How do I go to work today? How do I deal with my family? How do I deal with this really hard situation that I'm in? Who wants to tell you? And I get that it doesn't say turn left, turn right, tell Mark he's nice, like whatever. Like it doesn't say that very specifically in here. And I know that's so frustrating because we're like, well, I just want to know if I'm supposed to take that job. And it doesn't say that, but it will say that, because he will speak a rhema word to you through it. And he will highlight something to you that says, this is the way, walk in it. And he brings up scripture to mind. That's how he speaks to me, is that I'm like, Lord, what do I do? And then I hear something that I'm like, oh, really? Okay. But it's always a scripture. It's always a scripture. Every sermon, every prophetic word, every prayer, every encouragement needs to line up with this. Everything has to line up with this. This is the ultimate authority that we have, because God gave it to us. It is from him. for us. His word. Have you got it yet? It's his word. He won't tell us something that won't line up with what he's already spoken. Guys, what would we do without the word of God? Just think for one second what it would be like to not have a Bible. We wouldn't know what to do. I wouldn't know what to do. And there are people in this world who don't have a Bible yet. They don't have, and you guys, I'm going to remind you again, it's not about the actual pages. It's not about the actual, whether it's what, you know, translation, is it leather or is it not? Is it little? Is it pocket size? It's not about that. You guys know that, I'm hoping. It's about what it contains. It contains life that will change you. And there are people in this world who do not have it yet, still. What would you do if you did not have the Bible? What would you do if if you had to tear out pages and share them with the people in your neighborhood? We have it so good here. An abundance of his word with us all the time at our fingertips. And there are people who are willing to die to get one of these. There are people who have died to get one of these. There are people who have smuggled them into countries where it's illegal to have one. And God did miracles because he knows that his word of God, that his word is what is going to change people with his spirit. This is where everything starts and ends. Every word of hope, every word of peace, every word of comfort, everything starts and ends here. Psalm 19, 7 through 10 in the Passion Translation says, God's word is perfect in every way, how it revives our souls. His laws lead us to truth, and his ways change the simple into wise. His teachings make us joyful and radiate his light. His precepts are so pure. His commands, how they challenge us to keep close to his heart. The revelation light of his word makes my spirit shine radiant. Every one of the Lord's commands is right. Following them brings cheer. Nothing he says ever needs to be changed. The rarest treasures of life are found in his truth. That's why I prize God's word like others prize the finest gold. Nothing brings the soul such sweetness as seeking his living words. Could you give me a Kleenex, please? Sorry, when you're crying and you're getting over a cold, it's not a good combination. This is why I prize God's word like others prize the finest gold. Nothing brings the soul such sweetness as seeking his living words. Nothing. Oh, it's the word of God. Okay, the second thing is it is the revelation of God. And I also kind of said the revelation / mirror of God. That's what this is. Oh, thank you. You're so sweet. Mark's a little slow. And you know, I even thought I should bring a Kleenex up there with me, and then I didn't. And of course, I needed it. I won't blow my nose into the microphone, I promise. Just wanna. Okay. It is the revelation of God. I'm going to keep going in Psalm 19. Starting in verse 11, it says, "For they warn us, his servants, and keep us from following the wicked way, giving a lifetime guarantee, great success to every obedient soul. Without this revelation light, how would I ever detect the waywardness of my heart? Lord, forgive my hidden flaws whenever you find them. Keep cleansing me, God, and keep me from my secret selfish sins. May they never rule over me. For only then will I be free from fault and remain innocent of rebellion. So may the words of my mouth, my meditation thoughts, and every movement of my heart be always pure and pleasing, acceptable before your eyes, my only Redeemer, my Protector God." 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. This is from the Message. It says, "There's nothing like the written..." Well, thank you. Appreciate it. "There's nothing like the written word of God for showing you the way to salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Every part of Scripture is God-breathed and useful one way or another, showing us truth, exposing our rebellion, correcting our mistakes, training us to live God's way. Through the Word, we are put together and shaped up for the tasks God has for us. The Bible is the revelation of God. The Bible is the mirror. It's the mirror that we look in. It's kind of like looking into a perfect mirror and seeing, finally seeing the truth. How many of you have gone to like a lunch or a meeting, and after you get done, you look in your teeth and you have spinach in them, and you've been that way the entire time and nobody said anything to you, but you only noticed it after you looked in the mirror and you were like, oh, that's been there the whole time. It's a lighthearted way of what I look at, how I look at the Word of God. You go and you read it and you look at it and you're like, oh, have I had that in my teeth the whole time? Have I been unkind this whole time in that situation? Because God's Rhema word said, pay attention to this. Have I been doing that this whole time? Whoa. It's the revelation of God. It's the mirror of God. You know, I heard in a book, or I read this in a book that I just finished over break, and it said, if you hitch three horses together, what's going to stop them from running away? So many of us have hitched our horses to other horses, things that are running the wrong direction. But we've teamed up with it because we think, well, that works. We've compared ourselves to other people and we look fine. But the thing is, are we fine? Have we looked in the mirror? Have we hitched ourselves to something or someone that's immovable? Or do we hitch it to something that changes with us? Does that make sense? This is something that doesn't change. It hasn't changed. We need to hitch ourselves to this. This is where we need to go for confirmation. This is where we need to go to look to see, God, what? Help me. Show me. Show me any way in me that is not right. I can't go to Mark and compare myself to him. Both of us are sinful. Both of us are messed up in different ways. I can't go and say, well, I'm better than this, and he's not. I feel better about myself, but I'm still walking around with something in my teeth because I didn't look in a mirror that actually showed me the truth. You know, you don't know what you don't know. Do you know that? You don't know what you don't know. There's a lot of stuff that you still don't know, and there's a lot of stuff that I still don't know. And oftentimes when I talk to people about that, I'll use this analogy. I'm full of analogies because it's totally the way that God makes things make sense to me and help me to understand this. And he said to me one time, Jill, when you were growing up, it was like you lived in this neighborhood, and everybody in this neighborhood, your family and everybody, they drove cars that had three wheels. Okay, so they're made like our cars, but they're only three wheels. So one of the wheels, one of the non-wheel things, is just dragging on the ground. But everybody drove the same thing. So everybody looked normal. And that's what I knew. And then somebody came into my life who was driving with four wheels. Then I opened the Word of God and I started to see things with four wheels. And I was like, wait a minute. At first, you don't like it because you're like, well, who do you think you are? Four wheels. I think you're so awesome. Driving with four wheels. Fine with my three wheels. My three-wheel life is great. Everybody I know drives with three wheels. What is your problem? Why are you driving? But then you start to notice that they drive a little bit smoother, a lot of bit smoother, a lot less scraping and stuff. And they get places faster and more efficiently. And then you start to go, oh, I think there is a better way. And that's what the revelation of God does. He says, Jill, you don't have to actually drive with three wheels anymore. I'll give you a fourth one. It's better. It'll be better. It'll be smoother. He's not promising me a cushy ride, but he is saying there's a better way to do this. There's a better way to be married. There's a better way to parent. Because he can tell me all of that. There's a better way to live out of my giftings. There's a better, there's a, there's, what he's done is he's over time he has revealed to me pieces of who I am. I still don't know all of who I am, but it's like he's just opened up thing after thing and revelation after revelation as he's exposed, as he has revealed to me who I truly am and who I don't have to be anymore. It's not that he's fixing me, it's that he is revealing me to me, the real me, but it's only if I look in the mirror. Only if I look in the mirror will I see what's out of place, and only if I look in the mirror will I see what he has purposed and planned. If we read his word, we're looking in the mirror. We're looking for his revelation, what he will change in us. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For we have the living word of God, which is full of energy, and it pierces more sharply than a two-edged sword. It will even penetrate to the very core of our being, where soul and spirit, bone and marrow meet. It interprets and reveals the true thoughts and secret motives of our hearts." Whew. That's probably why we don't want to read it, huh? We're a little bit scared of what we're going to find in the mirror. There's not one person who can hide their thoughts from God, for nothing that we do remains a secret, and nothing created is concealed, but everything is exposed and defenseless before his eyes, to whom we must render an account. You can, and many do, say that this is not true. You can say that. But it is true. It is true. And we should know it, because there's some stuff that we really need to know. He's coming back. He is. It's going to happen. He said that it's going to happen. He said there's only one way. It's in here. We can have all truth revealed to us through his word and his spirit, if we want it. But it's If I was stranded on a desert island with nothing and I got one thing to bring with me, I would bring this, because I could read this every day for the rest of my existence on that island and it would never be the same. It would never be the same. And it would be the thing that could bring me hope and comfort. Hope. When it looks like I'm not getting off an island, I still have hope. Because it's in here. It's who's in here. And the third thing that this book is, it's the love of God. It's the word of God, it's the revelation of God, and it is the love of God. It's his love letter to us. John 15:9 says, "I love each of you with the same love that the Father loves me. You must continually let my love nourish your hearts." John 3:16-17 says, "For this is how much God loved the world. He gave his one and only unique son as a gift. So now everyone who believes in him will never perish, but experience everlasting life. God did not send his son into the world to judge and condemn the world, but to be its savior and rescue it." That sounds like a love letter to me. He didn't come to judge and condemn me. He came to save me, rescue me, to love me with the kind of love that God loves him. 1 John 4:10 says, "This is love. He loved us long before we loved him. It was his love, not ours. He proved it by sending his son to be the pleasing sacrificial offering to take away our sins." He proved his love for us. From the beginning, God has been unfolding his plan of redemption. From the very beginning, when Adam and Eve sinned, and we were separated from God. From that point on, he began to reveal to us his plan of redemption, his plan to bring us back into relationship with him. It's not hidden from us. His love, his salvation, it's all in his word. He showed us the original intent when we were created. You can go back and see what he originally intended for us when he created us. He talks about knitting us together in our mother's womb, this very intimate plan that he has for us, has for each one of us. It's not the same plan for everyone. It's the same plan of redemption, but it is not the same purpose for each one of us individually. He shows us the value we have in him from the very beginning. He shows us his plan for the future. He's coming back for his bride. We are his bride. He's coming back for us. He promised us. Remember, there's 3,000 unfulfilled prophecies in here still to come. Still to come. It's his promises. It's his kindness. It's his grace. It's his mercy. Do you need to hear about that? Do you want to hear about his love and affection for you? Do you want to hear about his incredible plans and purposes for you? Read his love letter to you. He wants to tell you, and he wants to reveal all things to you. He promises us if we seek him, you will find him. He promises that. He promises to show you his love for you. He promises to show his plan for you. But you need to know his word. His word created everything. He spoke and the world came into existence. His word has power and life and love and revelation. Please don't ask God to speak to you and then duct tape his mouth shut. That's what we do. If we're not devouring his word, we're saying, speak to me, and then duct taping it. Here's some hard things, okay? The Bible's either all true or none of it's true. It's ridiculous. It is ridiculous to believe just one thing and say, but he lied about the rest. Oh, he was right in this part, but he wasn't. He missed it in this part. We can't take the Bible that way. It's all or nothing. You know, that's what challenged me. I was a science major, and when I first had a relationship with the Lord, I was like, God, I don't know about evolution. I don't know. This creation stuff seems so, like, illogical. And he said, do you believe that I raised my son from the dead after 3 days? And I said, well, yeah, I do. Yeah. Hello. And he's like, is that logical? No. It's not logical. He's like, why can't I breathe the world into existence in 7 days? Why can't I do that? I don't know, God. Why can't you do that? And that was the moment it clicked for me that, like, this all has to be true. You don't get to just say, I want salvation, the rest of it can go. That's not what this is about. Okay, and I get that there are some passages in here that are way easier to hear, way more comfortable, way easier to share because people aren't going to be offended by it. Okay, but you don't get to pick out the ones that you want and throw away the ones that make you uncomfortable. It's either all true or none of it's true. And I promise you that all of it is true. There's some parts in here that are hard. Yep, I get it. But instead of just throwing it out, sit with it and say, God, why is this so hard for me to understand? Why is this so hard for me to believe? Why is this so hard for me to read? Because he wants to reveal to you that. Because that's part of the mirror. It's part of the revelation. But we also don't get to use this as a weapon against other people. Just as much as you want to maybe avoid the ones that you don't like, you don't get to take the pieces that you do like and start throwing it at people like stones and say, you should know this. That's not why he gave us his word. Never. The revelation is for us. It's for people to teach. But I'll tell you what, you better make sure that what I'm teaching you is from here. And as far as I know, it is, okay? Because that's my heart. But there can still be times where we might get it wrong, but I want you to know that. Because our hope, our plan, our purpose, our everything is that we would teach nothing but the word of God. But I'll tell you that even in the last 10 years, God's changed some of the way that I've thought because he's had some more revelation. So there's things that I might have preached 10 years ago that I probably wouldn't preach now because I have greater revelation of it. And that's actually a good thing because it means I read my Bible and God still talks to me. But if you believe the exact same thing you believed 20 years ago and you haven't had any kind of poke, something's not being revealed to you through his word. So we should always be growing and changing. We should always be open to the revelation of God. We should always be open to his word, his revelation, and his love. But don't pick out your favorite verses and throw them at people. That's not what they're for. That's one side of the bowling lane. Don't forget the other side. Paul gave Timothy a warning in 2 Timothy 4. And I want to give it to you because I think we need to listen to this and we need to understand this. It says, it's verse 2 through 5. It says, proclaim the word of God and stand upon it no matter what. Rise to the occasion and preach when it is convenient and when it's not. Preach in the full expression of the Holy Spirit with wisdom and patience as you instruct and teach the people. For the time is coming, here's the warning, for the time is coming when they will no longer listen and respond to the healing words of truth because they will become selfish and proud and they will seek out teachers with soothing words that line up with their desires, saying just what they want to hear, and they will close their ears to the truth and believe nothing but fables and myths. So be alert to all of these things and overcome every form of evil. Here's the thing, is there are people now that are going to where their itching ears want to hear because they like the way they preach that word because they never talk about the weird stuff. They only talk about the good stuff. The good stuff. This is where we take the bite from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Look, we don't get to choose this. Your itching ears may want to hear something different than what I'm preaching to you right now, but I beg you to open up the Word of God and see what he has to say about it and ask him, what does he want from you? What does he have to say to you? What does he want to reveal to you? I don't want to be distracted by what I want to hear. I don't want to eat junk food. Well, I do, but I don't want to eat junk food. Okay? I want to eat what God's prepared for me. Has a little vegetables in it, has a little meat, has a little sweetness. It's all a complete wholesome meal right here. Okay? I want to know, and I want my church family to know the word of God, the revelation of God, and the love of God. Are you hungry? Did I create any kind of hunger in you to go home and read this? Please go do it. Don't let the enemy steal it. So, I can't tell you all this and not give you tools, okay? I don't know how many of you have Bibles at your house. I'm guessing a lot of us do. Did you know it's the most stolen book? It's the most stolen book. There are people who are giving this away, and yet there are people who steal it still. All right, There's several ways that you can begin to satisfy the hunger for the Word of God. Part of it is the YouVersion Bible app, okay? This is simple. It's on your phone. It's a free download. You can do devotions. I've been doing them for 7 years, I think, and I've done 100 and something devotions every day getting into the Word just for a little bit. It's so easy. And you can have it in any translation that they have on there, okay? We have some Bibles here. I rounded up all the Bibles that we have in the church that we could give away, and I put them in the back at the Connect Corner. If you do not have a Bible and you want a word, if you want a book, we have some. Please don't leave without one if you need one. We have some that are for sale. I'm not trying to sell them, but you should know that these ones are not free. They're the leather ones that are in the back that have the River Church on them. You can buy them at the Connect Corner, but there are some free ones at the Connect Corner that you can have. Please. This is life-changing. I want you to have one. And if you want to know how to study the Bible, how to look at it, how to read it, Here's the thing. God wants you to open it and read it. So whatever translation draws you to open it and read it, read that translation. Do not be hung up on King James or anything. Whatever is going to get you to read the Word of God, do it. If it's a Passion Translation, if it's the Message, there are better versions to study because they're closer to the original Greek and Hebrew, but really, you guys, I just want you to read it. God will reveal to you how to study it. But there's, in the fasting devotionals that we have on the app, we had everybody do it the same way, and it's called the SOAP Journal. And what it is, it's S for scripture, so they write out a scripture. Then you make an observation, who, what, when, where, that kind of thing about that scripture. That's observation. Then the application, well, what does this mean for me now? What do I do with this verse? And then the last part is prayer. It is a simple way, SOAP. It is a simple way to connect and engage with the Word of God, to make it come to life. And I will tell you that, yes, there are some days where I just read it and nothing jumps off the page and nothing seems earth-shattering, but I will tell you what, the Bible promises us that if we will be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And so every day that I spend time in here is another opportunity for God to renew my mind. And I might not get anything in that moment, but I might the next day or the next week or even 2 hours later and say, oh, I read that this morning. That's why I read that. It is never wasted time to read the Bible. Never. I am going to close this in prayer, but I'm going to pray for the greatest tool that we can have ever, and that is the Spirit of God. Because the Spirit of God takes this into something that's life-giving. And I've gone way over my time, and I am so sorry. But I really want to keep worshiping. So will you guys please hang out with us for a little bit longer and worship? And thank him for his word. Thank him for his revelation. Thank him for his love. So, Spirit of God, I pray that you would increase in us a desire for your word, a desire for your scripture, a hunger for that God that can be satisfied by nothing else but with you and what your life-giving words will bring. Lord, create in us. You have given this to me. You have given this to me. And I want to pray that each one of us would have it, that God, you would change our year, you would change our decade, because today is the day that we decided that your word is what we need, is what we are hungry for. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, I'm not the least bit upset that you went over, because that was important for all of us to hear. Amen. So won't you